All right, club, baby. We're back recording on a Monday. I know what this Matt looks like. I see Matt every other Monday. I'm used to this, Matt.
You make it sound like it's a bad thing, Kieran.
It's not a bad thing. We're back to usual. We know what to expect now. There's no Thursday controversy recording.
No controversy. Well, no bread club controversy. God damn it. No, I forgot the bread.
No bread club controversy. There's some controversy surrounding New Japan for a change. Usually very quiet on that front. But we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
I can't believe I forgot the bread. So disappointed in myself.
Well, we need to save the bread for the most special of occasions. Bread has to be a Wrestle Kingdom style occasion.
Okay, I think that's doable.
Well, we've said it a million times before. We'll make bread a Wrestle Kingdom special occasion when we go all out for our Wrestle Kingdom preview show. The biggest guest will be the bread.
So you're telling me we're going to have to interview Bread?
Last year we had, this year, Wrestle Kingdom 17, we had Kevin Kelly, Francesco Akira, and Gideon Gray. And I think we can top that this year if we can get Bread onto the Bread Club.
All right. I mean, I'll try. I'll try anything once.
We'll send Bread a DM and see if they're responsive.
Yes.
Does Bread follow you, Matt? Does Bread follow at Wizards Podcast?
I don't think Bread does.
I think Bread is pretty big league. Bread's done a lot in its career.
I mean, I'm not on that level of Bread, I guess.
level. But at least New Japan is back. We went pretty much almost a month without any New Japan proper. You had the multiverse stuff, the All-Star Junior Festival stuff, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three New Japan shows on New Japan World. Everyone's back in, lots of people back in Japan. Stories are in progress as we build up on this destruction tour. We had a couple of Zack Sabre Jr. defenses, a new debut, the start of the Best of Seven series, an injury. What should have been a couple of straightforward nights, New Japan turned into a lot more than just, you know, a handful of must-see matches.
Yeah, and as we had wrapped up our last episode last Thursday, right? It was recent.
Yeah, not like the Thursday as in like 4 or 5 days ago, but the Thursday before that.
Right. Like I had gotten a text message about the Kevin Kelly situation. I instantly sent it to you like, what the fuck? You know, as time has passed and it's kind of come to light that there's a couple different stories out there. I guess this all started with Kevin Kelly making a reference on TV to a particular film that maybe has its own agenda and was...
Oh, yeah, the Sound of Freedom bullshit, yeah.
Not something you would expect someone to push on a wrestling program?
I didn't know he... What show was this he mentioned it on? Was it New Japan? Was it Collision? It couldn't have been Collision, surely.
I think it was Collision.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I feel like you're right. I feel like I remember seeing something about that on Reddit.
Look, the AEW is the wild, wild west. Everything happens over there. There's no... lost control over there. It's complete and utter chaos.
But yeah, you've got Ian Riccoboni taking having issues with Kevin Kelly on the Voices of Wrestling Discord. Kevin Kelly responding saying he didn't know if Ian had an issue, he should speak to him directly. The type of stuff you don't usually get in New Japan. You don't usually get the dirty laundry aired in public. When it's related to New Japan, whether it's dirt sheets, whether it's on Twitter, it's all very kayfabe-y, baby. So this was interesting to say the least.
Yeah, and I think the we have the Shining Wizards have their own Discord, and I'm also in another Discord, which is the Between the Sheets Discord, and there's Ian Riccoboni's in there, and I guess there's an unwritten rule where like what happens in the Discord.
Yeah, I feel like that's...
It should stay in the Discord.
And very unwritten, but yeah, I agree. Well, I'll try to join the Wrestle In Discord, guys. Wrestle In Discord.
I know there was a problem a couple years ago with Ethan Page when he did that last match for Impact, the Karate Man thing, and he was in the Major Figures Facebook group, and he had complained about it, and someone had taken that information and brought it to the sheet. Yeah, I guess there's...
it is very unwritten. You're right. I don't think, unless you're kind of, if you're involved enough to know, I suppose. But if you're just like passing by, if you've just joined, if you're new to how Discord works, it is very much, a community. It stays within that community, I think.
Yeah. So I think Ian had voiced his unhappiness under the guise that it would not be shared with the public, but I guess someone was trying to have their 5 minutes of fame. And then, obviously Kevin Kelly went out and kind of addressed the rumors and said he wants to spend more time with his wife because...
someone literally just straight up asked Kevin Kelly, are you going to be what's the story with New Japan and commentary and Collision and everything? And Kevin Kelly, full credit to him, tweeted verbatim, "I am at some point soon, but I'll leave it to New Japan to announce it or not. I plan on calling Destruction at Ryogoku and Wrestle Kingdom / New Year Dash," referring to the fact that at some point soon he is leaving New Japan. At the very latest, it sounds like it will be Wrestle Kingdom and / New Year's Dash. So the beginning of 2024. The voice of New Japan, who's been how long? I can't even begin to guess when Kevin Kelly first joined New Japan. For most modern day New Japan fans, he would be the only English voice they know. They avoided the calamity of the years prior when they was trying to get a foot on English commentary, and we went just through this revolving door of people, and none of it was ever good. And then we found Kevin Kelly, and it was a match made in heaven.
Yeah, it's kind of it's sad. It makes sense. Like, I get it. His wife of 32 years does not want to be alone for long stretches of time. Like, it makes sense. He's been doing it for a long time now. It's just he's what a lot of us Western fans would associate as the voice of New Japan, because him and Chris are an unbelievable duo. And I think they do a great job telling the stories and kind of filling in the gaps if you're not familiar with the product. So he'll definitely be missed, but we talked about it with Will Ospreay last episode, like from a person standpoint, like, sure. Like, of course you want to spend time with your significant other and not leave for 3 weeks at a clip.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And I don't know if I said it here or not, during the G1 when he was by himself, it's difficult to do commentary by yourself, but he didn't feel the same. I don't feel like it was the usual Kevin Kelly that we've grown to love and everything like that. Again, we've had him on Break Club, I've had him on Wrestling, he's been on the Wizards. He's very nice to do these interviews and stuff with, so no fault to myself, but I think that G1 was kind of the worst I'd seen Kevin Kelly, perhaps, in his time in New Japan, which I don't feel nice about saying, but it's just my opinion. It's a bit of the truth. So if he's kind of checked out on the product, if he knows he's going, then it's the best for everyone. And I will say this past weekend as well, Chris Charlton on Friday and Saturday at Corcoran Schultz, he was doing the Kevin Kelly role. He'd done a good portion of the show by himself. Night one, he was then joined by Shane Hayes. Night two, he was then joined by Mikey Nichols. But he'd done the Kevin Kelly role. He done everything from the color to, the play-by-play. I think he'd done a tremendous job. Like, I think, I wonder whether Chris will step up to be the Kevin Kelly, and whoever else they get to join Chris is going to be the new Chris, like, to add a bit of flavor and stuff. And Chris Charlton will now be the leading man.
And I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think Chris does an exceptional job in the two shows that we saw on the Road to Destruction this past weekend. I thought he did great. And I think that's just a natural progression, right? Mm-hmm. He's second to Kevin for so long. Like, it just makes sense. And he lives over there, so it's not like he has to...
I think the difficulty probably is that obviously Chris doesn't do every show that Kevin does. And there's obviously a reason for it. They'll say it on commentary, Kevin will say Chris is holding down the fort back in Tokyo. Chris obviously has a lot of New Japan duties that go above and beyond sitting at the commentary desk and providing commentary. I'm sure he's doing lots of the translations, social media, you know, the website postings and all those type of things. I'm just assuming. So I wonder if perhaps he just can't physically be doing full-time commentary, doing every show in English like Kevin Kelly would. But, you know, I certainly would love to see it. But Matt, I've got a question here. When did you start watching New Japan, like, never missing a show?
Oh God. My memory is terrible as to what.
Because I know you've got the date tape, the videotape trading and all that stuff, but when we're talking New Japan World, English commentary, it being very accessible, when did you kind of dive in?
I want to say it was, hold on, I'm just looking up the show, because it was 8.
Wrestle Kingdom 8, and we're at 18. So that's like 10 years ago. It's like 2014.
It's 2014, 20, it's 20, it's either 8 or 7. Hold on, let me look at 7. It was 7. I'm sorry, it was 7.
My point being, who can you remember? I've gone on to Kevin Kelly's Wikipedia page. His New Japan bit is woefully thin. But there's a few of the commentators that were on the table with him. Do you remember when they would have Yoshitatsu on English commentary?
Yes, I do.
he would literally say nothing. The man did not have a comfortable grasp of the English language, bless him. And I would remember Kevin Kelly and another man that was on New Japan commentary for quite a while, Matt Stryker, would set Yoshitatsu up and be like, Yoshitatsu, what do you think? And they would just often not hear anything back, or it would be like, yeah, good. And that would be it. Like, they'd try and get this wrestler's insight, and it was just never there to be heard.
I had a... Who did... The commentary was... Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino?
Yeah, I feel like that was maybe when I...
It wasn't New Japan. Was like,
no, it was like that Wrestle Kingdom where you had to battle like flips or some bullshit. Yes. And yes. It was awful. That was the first Wrestle Kingdom I bought. And that app was terrible. They never done that again.
Right.
But as well, do you remember when they were kind of like just seemingly testing out anyone and everyone with Kevin Kelly? And you had some good guys like Mavs Gillis, I think his name is. He'd done a couple of shows by himself potentially as well. But also when they had Lanny Poffo on, and he just didn't have a clue. Like, he was awful. If you go, I would love to go back, and if I was allowed to post stuff on Twitter without getting in trouble from TV Asahi, post clips of Lanny Poffo on commentary for New Japan, because the dude had no fucking idea who anyone was, what any moves were, just totally clueless. Like, this was his first time ever watching professional wrestling. It was absurd how bad that man was.
It looks like he did it in 2019.
Lanny Poffo.
Yeah.
Damn, I thought it was a lot longer ago than that.
Hold on, let me see if I... This is an interview. Hold on, I want to find...
But they flew him into Japan and everything. We're talking, they flew Lanny into Japan. Lanny Poffo into Japan to do commentary at the table.
It looks like it was 2018.
That sounds more right. 2019 sounded too soon. But yeah, it's going to be interesting now. Who are we going to get to replace Kevin Kelly? Is it going to be someone we know?
Can we get Gino Gambino back?
Oh man, full-time Gino, that'd be the dream. Full-time Gino and Chris would actually be the dream. But I wonder if they get someone known, do they get someone we haven't heard of, someone from the independents, like, that, you know, has only, if you watch specific promotions. Because I think Kevin put out a tweet saying, like, they want whoever they get will be someone that can grow and grow with the product. So maybe they want, you know, someone that can be known just for New Japan.
Interesting.
But no scoops from me.
No scoops from you? I feel like that's a farce. I feel like you know something. None. Is it you?
None to say. Yeah, could you imagine? I wish. None to say on air.
I think it couldn't. I think it was the 2018 King of Pro Wrestling Tour.
I don't know, man. I have no idea. But
I want to find it now.
Kevin Kelly will be missed.
Yes,
but what about action in the ring this past weekend, Matt? I was so excited for Bolton Oleg versus Zack Sabre Jr.
When I saw that he was not in there, I knew your little heart crumbled.
Dude, I was sat in the doctor's waiting for my GP appointment, and it was like 10:30, and I was like, let me just stick New Japan on. I'll just watch it without the volume because I'm not going to be a dick and make everyone in this doctor's surgery fucking listen to Chris Charlton. And like, it starts with the announcer in the middle of the ring, and I'm like, something's off. They only ever do this when the subject, when the card's changed. And I was like, God damn it. But then Ryo Hayoiwa showed up, man. He looked great. Yes. Came out with Kaito, you know, he's only had a match or two in Noah since, you know, being on excursion, but the New Japan fans got to see his new gear. And I think they had a great match. And Zack Sabre Jr., I think that was defense number 13 for him.
Yes.
Another, you know, just another blinder is in his continuing run as one of the best wrestlers, one of the best wrestlers period, but one of the wrestlers of the year this year for sure.
Yeah, I don't, you know, and we're going to get, we'll talk about it. You know, they made the huge announcement for what's it, Dream Fest?
Wrestle Dream,
whatever. Yeah. Fucking, bro, the amount of cocaine you have to do to come up with something, allegedly.
I mean, Wrestle Dream was an old New Japan show. Very once upon a time.
Once upon a time. I mean, I don't, you could make it, you know, now that Orange Cassidy is not your international champion, you could, you know, make a case that he's the most successful champion in professional wrestling, Zack Sabre Jr. 13 successful defenses in the year.
Yeah, I feel like out of all the big companies, surely, like Gunther, Walter, whatever, he has had a great reign, obviously. He's just broke the record and stuff. But yeah. I don't know how many defenses he's had this year.
Probably, I mean...
outside of house shows, none of that bullshit.
Yeah, probably not enough on TV.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but Zach, his reign, incredible. And then was it that same? No, it was the next night, right? Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Yeah, so then on night two.
Before you get to that, I do want. What?
Go on. No, go on. I'm getting myself confused.
I'm curious to find out how you feel about this. I'm not going to lie, man. Suzuki, Narita, Despy, Honma, night one against Shooter, Wato, Lube, and Nagata. I'm excited to see this best of seventh thing. This eight man, right? Because we're all used to these Road 2 shows, and they're kind of...
we'll switch out one wrestler one night, and all of a sudden it's a different match.
I don't want to say throwaway matches, but they're kind of like... There's the two main event matches that you're kind of souped up for, and they do kind of further some stories with the undercard. But for the most part, it's very paint by numbers for New Japan. It's a tag match. Yep. It's an eight man. It's a six man. It's a tag. But man, this was fucking. I don't think I ever will get tired of seeing Yuji Nagata and Minoru Suzuki beat the dog shit out of each other. And I thought Ren and Shooter, had great chemistry in this match. The first
I only watched the Iowa. No, that's a lie. I watched the United Empire versus LIJ match, Zach versus Ryohei Iowa, and then I like had the main event on Taichi and Sonata versus Show and Evil just loosely in the background. I've not watched every match of these three shows.
Okay, fair enough.
I've cherry picked, but I trust you, man. I trust that this was a banger because Suzuki and Nagata, considering they combined are over. They've got a century between them. They seem to always just put on bangers. Like they seem to just, I don't know, like just they bring out the best in each other. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, like you said, the years of them being in the ring together. Like they just know what to do and they know how to get people invested and on their feet. And it was a lot of fun. And I was also super impressed with this. This Callum Newman.
What I wanted to get to because obviously
I watched night one. I didn't cherry pick. I have been in such
I watched this
jonesing
one.
For New Japan.
I forgot about that he debuted on this one, and I was excited to ask your opinion because I've seen him on the UK scene, but this is your first exposure to Callum Newman. So what did you think of Callum Newman making his New Japan debut?
I thought they put him in a great spot where he could shine. I thought he looked great. I'm excited to see what the future holds for him, and I'm just, you know, these guys on paper, when you look at him, there's nothing, you know, he just looks like a dude. There's nothing special to him, but man, he gets in that ring and they really they let him do his thing, and I'm excited. I will, you know, keep an eye on Callum Newman to go along with the rest of the young lions that New Japan has currently under their umbrella.
I love that. Yeah, he's a young lion, but he's United Empire's young lion. So he's got that one green streak down his trunks. That's really cool. I really like that. As soon as he came out, I was like, they should have done that for Fujita. Let him have an orange stripe for TMDK. That would have been great. But that's a really cool bit. But like, as soon as when he started hitting the ropes with Hiromu, and his whole thing is that he's the Prince of Pace. And I'm sure Chris said it on commentary. He says, Callum Newman will say that no one can hit the ropes faster than he can. That boy moved, and the crowd, Corraquin, lost their minds for him hitting the ropes. Like, in that moment, he was the Japan audience, and now they've fallen in love in that moment from him just running back and forth, hitting the ropes, ducking and diving Hiromu before hitting a drop kick or whatever it was. Oh, Hurricane Rana at the end of Frankensteiner. But yeah, he hit those ropes insanely quick, and the Corraquin Hall crowd erupted for it. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, and that the spear that Tsuji hit on him was
beautiful. Absolutely murdered the kid on his debut.
I wanted to murder my eyes because I watched the fucking main event. Like a fucking asshole. I don't know what to expect, Kieran. I don't know why I do it to myself. What's wrong with me?
I didn't pay proper attention. I had it on Shenanigans, of course. Evil and Show keeping hold of the titles. Another pin for Evil over Sonata. It's fine. It is what it is.
It's not fine.
It's not necessary watching. It'll be an issue when we get to the destruction match in Ryogoku.
Yeah, because we're going to have to watch another fucking Evil Sonata match. I don't want... Somebody there has to know how bad this is.
I don't know. I mean, the crowd boo. They're getting the reactions. And blah, 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 blah. I'm not... Show versus Taichi, I think, will be a million times worse than Evil versus Sonata will be.
I mean, if I went to Japan and I took a shit in the middle of the ring, they'd probably boo me too. You know, I'm not booked for any tours.
I mean, maybe that's why. Maybe you need to be doing the shits in America first to get the eyes on you from Japan. Gedo waiting for you to make your mark, literally and figuratively.
It's fucking awful. It's fucking awful. I can't believe this is a main event of a major show in September.
It's potentially their last biggest show of the year. It depends. Yeah, like is there a KOPW tour after this? There's not. This finishes in October. You got Super Junior Tag League has been announced, I think. World Tag League schedule has been announced. So this is their last biggest show of the year outside of them announcing, you know, they could announce another historic crossover or something like that. And of course they've got Royal Quest as well. Moving on to night two. The night starts with Yoshinobu wait, that's night three, wasn't it?
No, night two is the elimination match, right?
When the hell did Kanemaru get injured?
That was night two.
It was night two. Okay.
Yeah, it was night two, because that's the same night as the LIJ.
Yeah, Doki pulled double duty. Right? Yeah, Doki pulled double duty. Okay, yeah, so you get to the fourth match on the card. Nobu seemingly just trying to step into the ring. His leg seems to go, much like Vince McMahon from the Royal Rumble all those years ago?
Yeah, when both his hamstrings exploded.
Yeah, like just a freak accident. New Japan have since announced that him and Bolt and Oleg, I can't remember if they're off the entire tour, but they're certainly missing a number of dates. New Japan with the old black and white lion mark, which you know is never a good sign when you see that pop up on your socials. All the best to Yoshinobu Kanemaru. But then we get another impromptu NJPW World TV Championship match. And the best thing about this, Matt, did you see why we got this match?
No, I missed that.
Zack Sabre Jr. in his backstage comments the nights before has said that he wants to get to 20 defenses now. This year, he wants to get to 20 defenses with the title. So he wants another challenger. So whilst he's cutting his backstage comments, he happens to see Mr. Satoshi Kojima looking for the toilet. He's just heading to the toilet. So Zach's like, "Oi, Koji, do you want to challenge for the title?" And poor Kojima's like, "What? I'm just trying to go to the bathroom. What are you talking about?" And he's like, yeah, tomorrow. Are you busy? He's like, "I'm just trying to go to the toilet, bro." And Zach's like, "Okay, yeah, thank you. Thank you." And just keeps on bowing, like, "Thank you." And Koji's like, "What are you talking about, you moron? And that's how we end up with Kojima versus Zack Sabre Jr. and a banger of a match. This was fantastic. Zack trying to lock horns and, you know, have a lariat off with Kojima and obviously failing miserably. This was great. I love this. Kojima, it's insane how good Kojima is still. The man is like 53, maybe just turning 53. He's in his 50s, and the dude is still the best out of the third generation, man. I'd have him over Suzuki, Nagata, any of those guys. He's the best dad for me.
Yeah, well, that's why we named the show after him. He's 52 years old, 52 years young. Man, on paper, I was like, what is this? What is this? And then, man, it was unsurprisingly terrific. You know, the last portion of the match where Kojima essentially empties his whole tank,
yeah,
just trying to get the win over Zach, and then Zach gets him in the triangle. It was awesome. It was so fucking good. It's like, you know, I know he's in the news for the wrong reasons, but it's just like Punk versus Kojima at the fucking Forbidden Door. Like, on paper, you're like, really? But man, they fucking tore it down, and Kojima does it again here with Zack Sabre Jr. I mean, these guys were great dance partners. This is a match to go out of your way to watch, 100%.
Yeah, this is the match of the weekend for me, for sure. Koji delivering big time. And then speaking of the dads, we get to never open weight six-man tag team title defense. Ishii Tanahashi and Okada retaining over Tiger Mask, Hiroshi Tenzan, and Togi Makabe. This was the Tenzan show. This match was just Tenzan having his moments. The night before, going to a no contest because him and Ishii wouldn't stop trying to beat the shit out of each other. And Tenzan came out guns blazing, man. This is the best he has looked in a New Japan ring in God knows how long. I wonder if this is maybe the start of the kind of Tenzan retirement tour as such, because he's physically not capable. He literally doesn't have ankles. Yeah. But he was great in this match. Like, he deserves a lot of credit for the performance he was able to put on with the body the man has in this day and age.
Yeah, I think we mocked this last show. We mocked this matchup. This is not a crisp masterpiece. This is not a 5-star match. It is an absolute, utter chaos hoot. It is so much fun to watch. You know, back to back right after the Sabre match too, like, this fit perfectly on the show. And yeah, Tenzan was, if this is his last hurrah, this is the story they're going to tell. Like, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Would you be game for one more Tenkozy run, one more Kojima and Tenzan as IWGP tag champions? Or do you just think that's just stupid considering their age and who else is in the division and stuff like that?
Oh man. When you say run,
holding the titles at the very least, like one more time, like
getting a win and then dropping them, like at the next show or the next match, I wouldn't be against it. I think there's been so much time passed that a lot of people might not get the significance of Tenkozy and how important they were to the tag team scene in New Japan 15 years ago. So I wouldn't be against it. No.
I think I saw someone on Reddit, and it was a very sincere question. It was just like, how big of a deal was Kojima once upon a time? And it's like, the man, he's the first person, and he might be the only person, I'm not sure, to win the IWGP and the Triple Crown, to hold both those titles at the same time. The story surrounding it, no one knows the truth, whether it was legit that Tenzan just couldn't get up in time, and, you know, because it was like seconds away from being a 60-minute draw between the two champions, which you would expect, but Tenzan couldn't get up in time, and Kojima won both belts, and they've, you know, like Japanese does, kayfabe, there's an air of mystery after whether that was meant to happen or whether that wasn't meant to happen, and Kojima won both titles by mistake. But like, he was so good. Like, again, he's won all three of the top titles. He is the, like, you know, everyone uses the word legend, but he is an absolute legend of Japanese wrestling, not just New Japan. Such a big deal. And it's just because it was his time in the limelight was during the time when New Japan business was down. Yeah. Doesn't get as much attention. Like Nagata doesn't get as much attention as he should, as any of those boys should, any of the third generation. Tanahashi gets all the credit for saving New Japan, but they were eating the shit and like shoveling through it and keeping New Japan from sinking entirely.
Yeah, and Tenkozy was also the first team to ever win the G1 and the World's Strongest Tag Determination League in the same year. So, like, they're, yeah, look, to have the War Dogs lose the titles to them in, like, some kind of fluke.
Ooh, that'd be a good story.
That'd be like great, because then, like, they'd just come out and, you know, it would be a great story to have them kind of, you know, they're the ones that make Tenzan retire. Right, and they win the titles back from them, and they beat him into retirement.
And I mean, as well, when Gabe Kidd was kind of first off of first graduated his young line, I think he was calling himself the Young Bull or something like that, and he had hair very much akin to Tenzan. Yep. There was obviously a Tenzan homage there. There's obviously a whether there's a relationship between them, or Gabe Kidd just, like, you know, likes Tenzan and, you know, wanted to carry on the legacy. Obviously, that's all changed since. But it seems like there might be a bit more. There could be certainly a story to be told with Gabe Kidd and Tenzan sharing the ring together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they did a lot of tag matches together too back in the day.
Yeah, when he was a Young Lion, more than likely, yeah. They always team up with the Hontai guys, the good guys. But yeah, that's all the wrestling. That's all the New Japan I watched this weekend, Matt.
Did you watch the elimination match?
No, I had to. I headed out. When was this? This was Saturday. Yeah, I had to head out. So I only got to watch, actually, do you know what, I watched all this on Sunday. That's a lie. I watched the two matches back on Sunday, so I just cherry picked. The only one I was able to watch live was Zaka versus Oiwa. Everything else I watched on a day or two later, but yeah, I've not watched anything else other than that.
Yeah, elimination match was good. A lot of action.
I wanted to watch it. These elimination matches are always pretty good, and I feel like with United Empire in there, they always go a step above what's needed in these types of matches as well, especially a Will Ospreay. Always wants to put on a good show. But yeah, I did want to watch it, but yeah, I didn't watch this nor the time limit draw the next day.
The old time limit draw, huh?
I feel like nobody expected a time limit draw in the first match of this best of seven series.
I mean, based off of what we saw at the G1, you know, With all the time limit draws early.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of these players involved. I mean, they're not gonna, I think it's they're trying to leave you with the air of, you know, this is gonna come down to that seventh match, and it's all or nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a cool way to kick off the series, quite frankly. I can't imagine it's a play that's happened very often, if ever, in this type of series to start off with a draw. So, you know, kudos to New Japan for doing that. And I heard good things about the match too, but yeah, I just haven't watched it, full disclosure.
I was running around this morning catching up on life, so
yeah, I feel that. But next up, that's New Japan related, so the tour continues. I don't know what is or isn't live on New Japan World. The next show of note that's notable, the next show that has some consequences, September 24th, Destruction in Kobe, which we'll get into. But before Destruction in Kobe, this coming Sunday, September 17th, the year of Will Ospreay continues when he finally steps in the ring to take on his favorite wrestler, certainly the biggest influence on the man, Will Ospreay versus Naomichi Marufuji in a Noah ring to celebrate Naomichi Marufuji's 25th wrestling anniversary. I want to say it's 25th, I'm sure. But goddamn, I am excited for this match. This is going to be incredible because Will Ospreay is going to... I know we have put out a video. It's like 11, 12 minutes long just speaking to Will about Marufuji. And the boy is like a child. He just like sparkles in his eyes. He is so excited for this match. He is going to put everything he possibly can into making this match be special for him, for Marufuji, and everyone watching.
Yeah, and I don't think you'll be disappointed with how good Ospreay is and how good Marufuji is. I don't know if people are familiar with Marufuji's career. His work is, he was a huge part of Noah. And his win over Jun Akiyami to become the GHC Heavyweight Champion in 2006 was huge. If he was the first wrestler to win all five GHC titles. Like, he is such an important part of pro wrestling, Noah, and the Japanese wrestling industry.
If we don't have Marufuji, we don't have, like, the wrestling we have today. Like, it's no exaggeration. Like, the Alex Shelleys, the Kentas, the Marufujis of the world that are never going to get the credit they deserve. Because, yeah, the wrestling we love today doesn't exist. Will Ospreay's, half of Will Ospreay's moveset doesn't exist if Marufuji doesn't exist. Will Ospreay says in this interview, like, he stole 70% of his moveset comes from Marufuji. You can't overstate the importance of this man. I'm very excited for this one as well. And it's like Will Ospreay saying, like, he remembers, like, the first time he was watching Marufuji, and he describes it as, like, when you're a kid playing with toys, and you're like, you see something on the TV and you just forget about the toys you're playing with and you're just staring at it. He says that's what it was like the first time he saw Marufuji. Like, nothing else mattered. That he was just, like, you know, he was just fixated and fascinated by this human being, this man, the things he was doing. So that's going to be on Wrestle Universe, I'm assuming. I'm not sure. It's on 17th of September, Japanese time, but it's an early show. It's like a midday show in Japan. So, like, obviously, check your stuff out, check your time zones and all that jazz, because that's going to be must see. I'm not sure what else is on the card, admittedly. Should have done a bit more prep here.
Give me a second.
But yeah, cannot wait for that match. Will Ospreay is going to make that one special. And, you know, if he gets a win, that's another big fucking check, like, next to Okada, next to Jericho, next to Omega, to add Marufuji to that list as well. You know, he's already the runaway wrestler of the year, Will Ospreay. I think he cemented that for many people.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're not, if you just don't want to give him his credit, I mean, you're just being a silly goose.
That's a nice way of putting it, Matt.
Because he is, there's nobody better. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nobody
better right now in the world of professional wrestling than Will Ospreay. He's having match of the year. Year quality matches after match of the year quality matches, no matter where he goes.
Yeah, he's just what the only one doing it on a worldwide level across multiple promotions. It's undeniable at this point. But yeah, then as we mentioned, September 24th is New Japan's next big show, and it's a biggie. You've got titles on the line. You've got Taichi versus Show, KOPW 2023. You've got the IWGP tag titles. You've got a special single, two special singles matches, and the IWGP US title, UK title on the line. Matt, Taichi versus Show, KOPW 2023. Who is walking away still holding that oddly blue belt?
I mean, there's going to be... Well, it depends.
It's got to be Taichi. It's got to be Taichi.
I would hope so. I hope just five guys. I mean, Uncle Noble will have a crutch, maybe. You know, he can be equalizer to House of Torture.
I mean, we don't know what the stipulation is going to be yet. I'm sure that's going to be teased throughout the tour. But yeah, I think, like, just the whole Taichi being a heavyweight, and he's a big heavyweight compared to Show as well. But also, I would like, I wish it wasn't Show, but I would like to see a junior heavyweight hold this title at some point, considering it's open weight. Like, we have the never openweight title that, like, three juniors have ever held. Like, Kushida and Ibushi are two that springs to mind. I can't remember if that was... Oh, and Ospreay won it when he was a junior still, I think. But yeah, let's treat this as openweight. Junior should be challenging it for it more. I just wish it wasn't Show that was the one doing it.
I mean, look, if it gets the title off of Taichi and, you know, opens up a whole nother world, like... The KOPW matches can be fun, but if it's two juniors, I mean, you could really do some wild shit if it's two juniors who are real acrobatic and can do some crazy shit in the ring. So,
yeah, exactly. It'd be a nice change of pace. IWGP Tag Team Championships, Bishamon defendants against TMDK, Shane Haste and Mikey Nichols. If TMDK win, they will become the 100th team to win these titles. The 100th reign, sorry. So I think Bishamon, like, you know, would be like the 97th or 99th reign or whatever it might be. But they will become the 100th if they can topple Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto. I'm pulling for TMDK, man. I just want to see these boys with a title. They deserve it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You know, the Aussie Open blip kind of led the titles back to Bushiman, But I think something, you know, and look, we've all talked about how great Bishamon is. They got snubbed a couple years in a row here for being mentioned as one of the best tag teams in wrestling. But I think we need to I think the division needs some fresh blood here. And I think TMDK is the tag team to do it. Shane Haste is unbelievably talented, and his personality is off the charts. He's so
fucking funny, man.
And Mikey Nichols also super talented. So putting the straps on them would be great. And it would kind of, you know, change the atmosphere of the tag team division.
Yeah, I'm fully for it. Let's strap TMDK up to the nines. Special singles match, Shingo Takagi versus Great O'Khan. I see Shingo walking away with this. He's taken a lot of L's in the past few months, I feel. And Great O'Khan just seemingly can't get a big win to save his life, bless him. He's constantly eating shit. But yeah, I expect Shingo to win this.
Do you? See, I feel like after the Great O'Khan's G1, where he's kind of seemed a little despondent and he couldn't get a win, I feel like we might get a different version of the Great O'Khan in this match, and maybe he rights the ship. It'll be fun, though, I hope.
Yeah, I think this will be a good one. Tetsuya Naito versus Jeff Cobb, being officially a special singles match, but Tetsuya Naito has said if he loses, he will give up his right to face, to be in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. He'll give that up to Jeff Cobb, even though the office aren't acknowledging it. Even though, because of Okada, there's no longer the briefcase, there's no longer the winner's right to challenge contract. Tetsuya Naito making himself one with a bit of A3 paper and a Sharpie, which Jeff Cobb tore up, and Tetsuya Naito has since taped up. But yeah, this one, you know, Naito's obviously going to get the win back here, and he's going to head into to Wrestle Kingdom, and, you know, he's confirming his Wrestle Kingdom spot here.
Yeah, still, I think, you know, Jeff Cobb, Naito, I mean, sign me up. The elimination match that they had in night two was awesome. Jeff Cobb eliminates Naito last to kind of add a little fuel to this fire, but you know what you're signing up for. Naito's on this trajectory to be in Wrestle Kingdom main event, and Jeff Cobb is just so fucking good, and I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. So to put these guys in the ring together as the semi-main for this first night of this destruction tour in Kobe is no-brainer, and this match is going to fucking deliver.
And then in the main event, the match most people probably looking forward to most on this entire tour, I would say, the IWGP US brackets UK heavyweight championship match. That's how it's officially listed on the New Japan website. Will Ospreay defending his IWGP US /UK heavyweight title against Yota Tsuji. This should be absolutely incredible. Like, Tsuji is so big but so lightning quick, the same as Will Ospreay. I feel like these two are just gonna mesh really well, and I think we're gonna see a thing or two we just haven't seen before in a wrestling ring. Like, these two are gonna pull something really unique out of the book.
Yeah, and I think that's going back to our earlier conversation about Ospreay being wrestler of the year. Like, he's not, every match is different, right? He plays to the strengths and the weaknesses of each individual that he's in there. So the Omega match is different than the Jericho match, is different than the Marufuji match, which will be different than the Tsuji match. And Tsuji, like you mentioned, big guy, moves like a cat. Like, they're going to do something special here, and I'm super excited for it, especially because we've seen the trust that New Japan has in Ospreay and Tsuji to bring Tsuji back from excursion, put him right in the main event, put him in LIJ. This is the another big stage for him, and I think he's going to deliver. I think this match is going to be a home run.
I'm assuming an Ospreay win. Part of me is wondering if they pulled a rug here a bit, but you know, I think it depends perhaps on outlying factors, the Ospreay contract situation. But of course, they've already teased Zach versus Will for Royal Quest 3 in London. But I mean, Tsuji versus Zach wouldn't exactly be a bad match. It wouldn't be one that I'd be upset seeing. But yeah, Will versus Zach, you know, this Royal Quest 3, them two, you'd assume main eventing in London, in the UK, would be a really big deal. And then now that I'm thinking and saying that as well, it kind of feels like just kind of another tick for Will Ospreay to say, I've done that in New Japan now, let's move on to the next challenge, which, you know, would be AEW, like, you know, headlining the Copper Box against a fellow Brit and getting more than likely the win. I feel like that's another tick box exercise for Mr. Will Ospreay.
So we're going, or he's going all in on 2023.
Man, let's say hope he's going all in on staying with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I agree. Who I don't see. We talk. Look, since the last time we got together, more nonsense. I don't know anyone that wants to be part of that. I'm sorry. Maybe to go in once in a while and work a show there, but do you really want to be in that environment all the time?
Did you see Will Ospreay's tattoo?
Yeah.
He got his first tattoo?
Yes, but I don't think that signifies, like, he put himself in a position to be used in that situation in front of AEW. He did that with the help of Tony Khan and AEW, but, like, it's very important. But do you really want to be in that environment week in and week out, where it seems like it's like the inmates
the poison, are running
the asylum?
They might have cut the head of the snake off now, for lack of a better word. So, you know, let's see what happens. He doesn't need to make the decision right now. He's got months left on his contract, and maybe things will improve within AEW now that, you know, they've exercised the demon that was CM Punk.
Have they? But
yeah,
this is a completely different conversation for a completely different podcast, but I don't think CM Punk's the only problem in AEW. And
No, absolutely not. And if you want to hear us talk ad nauseum about what we think about Will Ospreay's future, go check out last episode of Bread Club, because it was a very Will Ospreay heavy episode last year. But one more match announced that I was not expecting to wake up to on Sunday morning following Collision. Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. October 1st, AEW's Wrestle Dream. Zack Sabre Jr. wins, or I will go fight Tony Khan. These are my terms. Non-negotiable.
I like it. I think with what Bryan said Saturday on Collision, where he's kind of winding his career down, it doesn't do... Him getting a win over Zack Sabre Jr. does nothing. We already know Bryan Danielson's a legend in the wrestling industry. A win over Zack Sabre Jr. does nothing to help Bryan Danielson, right? Doesn't do anything. Zack Sabre Jr., on the other hand, is a main player in New Japan, and these wins mean something, where, you know, if it gets to the point where he drops the TV title at some point to somebody, he can instantly slide right into the main event picture, where he can challenge for the world championship, and it'll be, well, I have this many successful title defenses. I beat Bryan Danielson. I took Will Ospreay to a time limit draw at Royal Quest 3, whatever the fucking story is, you know. And then he is, because I think Zack Sabre Jr. is a main event player. And I just want to hear him do a bunch of promos like he did to the Bryan Danielson one, where he just calls him a dickhead a bunch of times with his funny accent.
Yeah, dragon bollocks as well. Like, Zack Sabre Jr.'s backstage comments are incredible. He effortlessly is gliding between Japanese and English. Like, mid-sentence, he will just switch up the language. How is that boy not challenging for the... He challenges for the top title every so often, to be fair. But yes. How is he just not... He should be IWGP World Heavyweight Champion at some point. Like, he's done wonders for this NJPW World TV Championship. I think it's just such a missed chance, and it just seems so obvious. Like, the crowd love him. He's a faction leader now. He can speak. He can do everything you want on the mic. And then in the ring, he's so dangerous. Like, he can win the match in any... He doesn't have a finishing move. What is Zack Sabre Jr.'s finishing move? One of 20 submissions and one of 15 different roll-ups. And he's got the Zack driver. Like, he's such a... Every match he's in is exciting of importance, because it can believably end at any point. And I just really want the man to be the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. I think he deserves it. I think it'd be an incredible run. But yeah, I'm really pumped for this match. This is a match that, you know, I think it's happening on a Sunday, and I was gutted because that means I won't be staying up for it, because I'd have work the next day. But it's the match everyone's always wanted. And I want it more so that can just show lots of people who don't appreciate Zach or know as much as Zach, because obviously Danielson's such a worldwide bigger star than Zach. I really want people to just fucking learn that Zack Sabre Jr. is the best technical wrestler in the world.
Yeah, and I think I think that'll happen at the October 1st Wrestle Dream.
Wrestle Dream. It's like fucking Best of the Super Juniors all over again. Super Junior, Best of the Super Junior Tag League, wasn't it? We kept on messing up.
You could tell I took a powder on AEW recently. I haven't been watching it as much as I used to be, and it's just because of time. It's not what?
There's a new announcement. NJPW world is changing up. We got to talk about the Fale Dojo and the controversy there. But a couple of YouTube comments. A couple of YouTube comments from our last episode. One from Dunstan Williams. He says, "What could New Japan do outside of wrestling to bring more revenue to the promotion? More sponsors, a better TV deal in Japan. What do we think? What do you think?"
I'm not entirely sure. Because is it that Bushiroad owns New Japan, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, Bushiroad owns New Japan, and their main revenue isn't New Japan. It's card games and stuff like that. So I think they're probably doing everything they can, New Japan and Bushiroad, to get more money. Like, they bought Stardom. they do so many collaborations and things like that we're just not privy to in the West. They are on TV quite often. And yeah, I think that the fact Bushiroad with their cards and all that stuff, they're earning. They're not hard up for cash.
Yeah. Now, if you're looking for, I think maybe a better question is, like, how would they get themselves more exposure over here in the States? Maybe might be a better question. I don't know. There's the sorry, I've been battling a cold for like the last week and a half. So, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of wrestling over here, and I know they have their program on the Access TV channel, but not everybody here gets Access. I don't get Access, and I don't have regular cable. I stream. I got rid of the cable box a long time ago. We've been very open about if we miss a Road to Destruction show, and there's a good chance we're not going to go back and watch it, right? Unless there's something that you have to see. So, and there's the time difference, you know. I don't have the luxury of staying up till 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning every night to watch a 3-hour show. But I think, you know, they did the working thing with MLW. I know they're bringing Minoru Suzuki to MLW, the stuff with AEW. You know, it's kind of like that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. Like, they're leading you to where you can find these guys. You just have to make a conscious effort to sign up for New Japan World and make time to watch some of these shows.
Yeah, I'd like as well. I think that there was recently like some revenues released from Bushiroad, who own New Japan, and it broke down. You know, we made this much from New Japan, we made this much from Stardom, we made this much from card games, and then, you know, you got year on year, whether it was up, whether it was down, etc., etc. And there was comments, and I can't remember if comments were from Obari or someone, but it was someone high up in New Japan, and they straight up said AEW has obviously hurt them because any waves they were making in America have now, you know, that those waves have taken a big hit. They're not as strong because AEW now exists. And, you know, that's no secret. That's pretty obvious. But yeah, I think that AEW has taken all the steam out of New Japan sales in the West. Like, people watched AEW for the Kennys, for Jericho's, you know, Moxley as well, you know, Juice Robinson, Jay Wyatt, you know, and now potentially Will Ospreay going. Like, you don't need to watch, not so these people don't need to watch New Japan, quite frankly. But another comment from Scott George. He said he's so mad that Matt had a barbecue and still didn't eat bread on the stream since he had enough to feed a third world country. Get it together, Matt.
I know. You know, that's why I said I should have brought, there's still like a rolling cart full of potato rolls that are eventually going to go bad.
I was about to say, they must already be bad, man.
No, the potato rolls, they do well. They hold long, but we're getting there. Like, they probably should go in the garbage this week.
And then
I can't eat fucking hot dogs every night, people. I'm sorry. Trying to do the best I can with all the leftovers.
One more comment from Julian, as always. Always appreciate you, mate. He talks about, you know, meeting All In. He's weekend at All In and stuff. Seeing all the New Japan guys at the Rev Pro show and being part of history in Wembley really made up for the fact that he got home at 1 p.m., slept for an hour, and then went back to work at 3 p.m. But yeah, no, a lovely long comment talking about his experience in the UK that weekend because he flew over from Germany. So thanks as always for the comment, Julian. Go check his stuff out, Wrestling Info's podcast. He's got in, it is in German, but he's got English interviews as well. So go show him some love. But Matt, we've got a couple more topics to talk about before we
do. But up. I also got a comment in the Shining Wizards Discord.
Ooh,
from our friend Hardvark. And he said, this week's Bread Club was a good listen. It's interesting to see Matt with a different host and dynamic, an enjoyable listen and way to learn about Japanese wrestling and how Kieran knows everyone. On the bread thing, you need Japanese bread in a can.
What?
Is that a thing?
It must be. Why would he lie to us?
I don't know, but I will investigate Japanese bread in a can.
We're going to have to Google Japanese bread in a can. And then people be very confused at our search history someday.
I told this story on the pod. I have a little journal here because I do like the post show stuff for the Wizards where I write like one line of like something we say that maybe might be for like an episode title or something, and I say I gotta like burn this before, like if I die and my wife finds this or somebody else, yeah. Like just in a line, I wrote Pussy Willows, I Like Friends, VIP Motel, Almond Head, Deodorant. Like, I just write things, and if someone's unwhackable, like, I have to burn this. Someone's going to think I'm a psychopath.
No one's going to be able to connect those dots ever. Yeah, like, what do these words have in common? Like, they all existed in Matt's brain at some point. That's the common factor.
We have bread in a can. They come in 6 different flavors.
Ooh,
chocolate chip, caramel, strawberry, milk, plain, or coffee.
Strawberry bread in a can. Coffee bread in a can. What the fuck?
It's got like a little cat on the outside of it.
Oh, of course it does. I bet it's a really cute cat too.
Yeah, no, it's adorable. Every can is a different color.
They know how to market their shit.
Yeah, they do. Okay, so sorry, we have other news. New Japan's going to launch new features and improvements this fall for their apps. Mm-hmm. So that'll be nice because I had the app on my phone. I was like, oh, I can just cast this to my Google. I can't even get on fucking New Japan World on my phone.
Yeah, no, it's so old. It's so dated. The search function's rubbish. It buffers. Like, if I watch something new, it works fine. If I try to watch something old, it is just horrible, like trying to skip to the right place. It's a bit outdated. It's not very nice. It's nice to see it here that they're sticking the money into it to revamp it. The subscription price is going up slightly, but you will be able to subscribe in dollars for once the new subscriptions go live and the new version. So rather than having to pay in yen, you can just pay $9.99 US dollars straight away. There's going to be new apps on the Fire Stick, on iOS, on Android. You're going to be able to watch stuff in full HD. You're going to be able to download video content to watch offline. It's just going to be better top to bottom. It's going to cost a little tiny bit more. But this should hopefully make the viewing experience as New Japan fans infinitely more enjoyable.
Please.
And one more thing we should definitely touch on, because whilst we're very positive about all things New Japan, I think it's equally important that when things come to light that aren't so positive, we need to shed a light on them that people aren't perhaps aware of. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. It's fucking pro wrestling at the end of the day. But yeah, this is about the Fale Dojo. So for those who don't know, you've got obviously the Noge Dojo in Japan where the Young Lions stay. You have the LA Dojo, of course, which is still going on, but now it's kind of like just, you can pay and train there with under trainers like Kushida. And then there's the Fale Dojo, which kind of follows the Japanese dojo concept of, you know, you'll stay there, you'll train there, you'll pay to go. Although you can't pay to go to the one in Japan, but you'll pay to train there and stay there. And, you know, maybe if you're good enough, you'll get sent over to Japan. That's how Oscar Loibe got over. That's how Yuto Nakashima, even though he is Japanese, that's how he got over. He was part of Fale Dojo. But there's two very rather long, insightful posts on Reddit. If you search on Google, just put Fale Dojo Reddit, the two posts will come up. They're very damning, very, very damning of the Fale Dojo. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I feel like the too long didn't read of it in one word is scam. It just hits me as a scam for lack of a better word, I think it's a scam.
It might be somebody who maybe had grander of illusion, where they thought, I'm going to go here and I'm going to train for X amount of months and then I'll be in New Japan. And that's not quite the way the wrestling business works. So, you know, you read the post and yes, $7,000 is a lot of money, but like, you're not going to become the next Will Ospreay in 7-8 months. Like, that's, he worked his whole life to get where he is. So it seems very out of the blue, you know, because Fale's had his dojo for 5-6 years now, probably more.
I will say, I spoke to some wrestlers about this, and they said, yeah, like, it's kind of common knowledge that a Fale dojo is dog shit. That they're selling a dream that no one's ever going to get. The dream being, come here, you might get lucky. You might, if you're good enough, you'll get to New Japan. Really, they're just trying to get your money, get you in the door, get you out the door.
But isn't that every wrestling school?
Probably, yeah. But you also expect to get trained, like, by, like, you know, these two poses are very damning, and people are leaving barely knowing how to do any basics. Like, they could barely do an arm drag. It's all just horrible exercises. The housing situation is disgusting. It's 16 people living in a house that's meant to have 8 people in. And whilst you don't expect to be staying in 5-star accommodation when you're part of a dojo, I think that's pretty extreme. By all accounts as well, in his defense, it says when Bad Luck Fale does show up, he's a very good trainer. He's very helpful. He's very insightful, but he's not there very often. And he would take advantage of the students. He would make them wash these cars, do grocery shopping. Things obviously don't lend yourself to being a better professional wrestler. And look, I'll put this is a quote from a wrestler, yeah, who will remain anonymous for obvious reasons. Yeah. It's essentially Fale's independent promotion using NJPW stickers. So don't. I wonder how much New Japan will get involved if they, you know, I wonder how much money it goes back to New Japan from this, how much ends up in Fale's and Tony, what's the trainer's name?
Tony Kazina.
Yeah, in his pockets. Because, yeah, like, it's very damning about Tony Kazina saying he can switch on a flip. He can go from trying to train you nice to throwing a chair across the room and trying to hit someone with it. And
I mean, he's always had that. I remember when we first started the podcast that he was associated with Davey Richards and they like held up an independent promoter in the States. Like, it's no surprise. Like, you sent the rundown this morning and I was very unaware of this situation and you had been kind enough to send me the links. I read through it. And when I saw that Tony Kazina was the head trainer, I was like, of course, this guy's a fucking guy's a piece of shit.
That, yeah, very, 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 very much a piece of shit. So it's probably not a surprise that this guy who's now running a dojo, who is a piece of shit, isn't providing the best training, isn't providing the best environment. And look, I'm sure these people aren't naive. They're not going in expecting not to be pushed to their limits, and they're not expecting to go in and perhaps throw up because they've worked so hard. But clearly it's going a step beyond that. You know, I think in today's society, there's no excuse. There's no way to say, to call someone, again from the Reddit post of someone's experience, to call someone a faggot, and you know, there's no way to say that word this day and age. Basically, there's no right. You know, in his defense, it says like he would call people a pussy, and I feel like that's a situational one. Like, I'll call my mate a pussy if he doesn't want to go on a roller coaster if we're at a theme park, but that's obviously very different to if someone's struggling and passing out during an exercise and calling them a pussy.
Of course.
But yeah, there's not that situational awareness for the word faggot. That's just a no-go. And, you know, sorry if that's just saying that word upsets anyone. But yeah, it is very damning. Obviously, hopefully New Japan look into it because it sounds like a fucking shit show. Even if it's exaggerated in the posts, I don't think it is, just from what I've heard and separately. But yeah, I'm not holding my breath for New Japan to step in and, quite frankly, give a fuck about what's going on.
Yeah, you don't need your your brand associated with that. If you know, this is, look, it's wrestling school. It's not supposed to be easy, but you know, if some of these accusations are even remotely, you know, a quarter true, like, you can't have 16 dudes living in a fucking rundown shack, and you can't be running these kids who have concussions until they fucking pass out and then dragging them out onto the concrete and leaving them in the fucking New Zealand sun with some trainee just to watch over him to make sure he doesn't fucking die. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, to quote it as well, people are given massive discounts and if they consider leaving as a retention tool. This can drop to as low as $1,000 from $7,000, and someone might be told the office sees something in you to try and make them think, oh, like, you know, I've got a chance here. And obviously it's just chatting shit. Like, how would the office know about, you know, one of these 18 people? You know, it's clearly selling a dream that doesn't exist. And I feel bad for people, because what other choice do they have if you're in New Zealand? It's not like New Zealand has a thriving wrestling community. What are your choices? To hop on a plane to Australia and go on the independent scene, or hop on a plane to try go Japan where you're not going to be able to speak the language? Like, this is really, it's a chance, it's a dream, but that's, then they're selling hope of that. And that's obviously just, yeah, horrible bullshit. Yeah, not a fan like of any of this, obviously. And hopefully something does happen.
Yeah, hopefully they can get to the bottom of it and right the wrong and fix it. But it's, man, it's pro wrestling. Like, there's a, and you can go, you'll find the Reddit posts. There's, but like, you can't talk, you know, you can't support your friends and other pro, it's just stupid. Like,
oh yeah, it's not, yeah,
party wrestling, but like, we dealt with that when we first started the Shining Wizards podcast. Like, so and so doesn't like so and so, so they can't be on your show. And I was like, fuck you. Like, this is not their podcast, and I don't give a shit if somebody you associate with doesn't like somebody we're gonna have on as a guest. Like, don't fucking listen. I don't know what to tell you. It's fucking carny bullshit. It really is. It's the most ridiculous shit. Some of the shit, Kieran, I have stories from when we first started doing this podcast and we were heavily involved in an independent promotion here in New Jersey. Some of the fucking stories I could tell you, you would be like, what is wrong with you?
Conversely, I went to a wrestling show in a library and had a fantastic fucking time, and someone got put for a table like 5 centimeters from my face. I shit myself. It's great.
How do we do a wrestling show in a library? Is there a ring?
Yeah. Full ring, chairs around, everything. It was fantastic. Great little venue for it.
Was
Gideon Gray was there. Gideon Gray is part of the reason I went. Gideon Gray versus Jordan Breaks. They had a pure rules wrestling match. Gideon Gray, he won't tell you, but he is a very fucking good technical wrestler. A proper student of the catch-as-catch-can style and everything British wrestling style. It was fantastic to see him in that environment because he doesn't do it often, which is why I went out of my way to go to the show. Michael Oku was on the card. I can't remember if there was anyone else of note as such on the card outside of the British wrestling scene. Yeah, I had a great time. It was really cool to go to a show in a library. The drinks were cheap. It was free beers for £10. Three big cans of beers for £10. I put £5 in for the raffle when I won this t-shirt. I got second place. Purpose Wrestling. Okay. It's so soft. I'm going to wear the shirt all the time. It's so comfortable. But yeah, I thought it'd be funner to end on the note of wrestling in a library than on Bad Luck Farley being a prick.
Carney, I got a bell. This is going to be the name drop bell for you. Every time you name drop somebody that you are friends with in the wrestling business, I'm going to ring the bell.
Well, once this stops recording, you're going to be pressing that nonstop.
Once this stops recording?
I can tell you some stuff off screen.
Oh, this guy's always got something up his sleeve. I love this.
But yeah, I think that's it for Bread Club this week. Short and sweet. There's not been much in terms of New Japan in the ring. But when we're back in 2 weeks, we'll be the day after that big September 24th show, we'll be back to talk about the Will Ospreay Yotsuji match, to preview the upcoming shows. I'm sure there'll be some more Wrestle Dream stuff, see what New Japan talent are going to be rocking up there. Another 2 weeks to come, lots more New Japan to come in that time.
Yeah, it'll be you know, there's the calm before the storm. We're gearing up for wrestling
into it. Super Junior Tag League's been announced, World Tag League's been announced. Hopefully we get some cool teams over there. I'm rooting for West Coast Wrecking Crew. Nice. But, yeah.
They just won a bunch of gold over here in the States last night.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I love those guys. But yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Give me a follow on Twitter. Dak, it says down there at KieranRH93. More importantly, check out WrestleIn at WrestleIN. Got some interviews in the pipeline that I need to finalize. Hopefully a couple from New Japan, one from AEW. Patreon.com/WrestleIn2. Yeah, all that good stuff. Just go to the Twitter at WrestleIN, and you'll get everything you need. But Matt, Wizards podcast recording tonight. What's happening?
Yes, I do want to ask, and you could tell me off the air, but I do it. Do you get a response from AEW media, the media people over there?
Yeah, always telling me no.
At least they fucking respond to you to tell you no.
We'll make sure. Let's check who. I'll confirm with you off air that we're emailing the same person.
Fair enough. Although I did, you know what? I can't say they always said no because they did get a sunny kiss while he was under contract. So.
That's one more than me.
All right, fair enough. Well, Impact I have no luck with, so
yeah, no, Impact horrible.
Let's go over there. No, that guy's a fucking douche. At Wizards Podcast is the Twitter handle. Look, you don't want to hear anyone, you can't listen to another wrestling podcast that talks about fucking CM Punk, AEW's falling apart, Roman Reigns, this fucking WWE, that. Don't even, the latest episode of the Shining Wizards, Retro Wizards, we're going back to 1995. We're going to do the whole show and we're going to talk about the week that was September 4th to September 10th in 1995, the debut of WCW Monday Nitro, Lex Luger showing up, the fallout from SummerSlam. It's all old school wrestling. We're going to pretend like we are in 1995. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're going to check out a Shining Wizards episode, there's no current wrestling talk allowed at all. At Wizards Podcast.
Is there a forfeit if someone talks about current wrestling? Someone, whoever like accidentally talks about current wrestling the most should keep a tally and that person has to do a forfeit.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. It's probably the most post-show work we've done ever for a show.
I'm excited for that. I think that there's such a need for that. With this current news fucking wrestling cycle, like we said,
everybody has a fucking podcast. How are you going to stick out? There's only so many times someone can listen to a podcast where they talk about fucking CM Punk fighting Jack Perry or fucking Roman Reigns and Gunther having these unimaginable title reigns because WWE wants to clear the slate of the Honky Tonk Man. You know, like, we got to do something different here. We've been watching wrestling all our fucking lives. We know what we're talking about. We're going to have a lot of fun with this. I'm excited for it. It's a good change of pace.
At Wizards Podcast, that episode will be out by the time you're watching this. Go follow, go listen, go enjoy. That was Bread Club.
Remember to follow on Fightful Overbooked, FightfulOverbooked.com, Fightful.com. Rate, review, subscribe. Leave a thumbs up. Leave a comment. We'd love to read them. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Destruction in Kobe results and probably some more. What's it? Dream? What do we call it? I'm calling it Dream Warriors.
Dream. The name's getting further and further away every time you try it.
There will be more matches announced for the Dream Warriors. It'll be a wrestling show / live Dokken performance. So if you are a Dokken fan, and you like the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, you can enjoy the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks. I got to hit the button.
You have to hit the button.